Hey everyone, this is Anika.
This is Heather, and welcome to the Women After God's Heart podcast.
On this podcast, we talk about issues related to women being content with the state we're in while being intentional to practically live the word of God so we don't remain spiritually stagnant.
Hi guys, thank you so much for the continued support. This week we're talking about outside influences on your relationship. A lot of us, I mean, whoever have ever been in a relationship knows what it is to have outside voices, outside opinions. You know, everybody have an opinion on your relationship, on the partner that you've chose. And so we want to have a little conversation this week about, you know, how you really manage outside influences, how you set boundaries, how you take some of the opinions and advices and what not to take. So let's get into it.
One of the things that I want to start with is that when we're in relationship, we have to realize that there are different interferers around us, different, you know, factors that can affect our relationship. Some of it we consciously entertain, some we unconsciously entertain, and it may be for various reasons. Maybe we just can't identify what these interferers are, right? So we have to be mindful that we know our spouses, and we have to know the people who we have in our immediate surroundings or the persons who are speaking into our lives. We need to know who to listen to. And the old people would say, to take it with a grain of salt, right? So you need to know that there are people around you who are out to destroy your relationship. There are people who, yes, they love the relationship that you're having with your spouse and they will encourage you, but then they are toxic people. Mm-hmm. And they just cannot produce anything, because whatever is on their heart, that's what's going to come out. So what people say, what they do, is just how the heart looks. That's what you're seeing. So you have to realize that if you're a child of God, you have to know. So we have to let God find those persons who will be a support system for us, where we can strengthen our relationships with our spouses, and we will be able to minimize any attack that may come on our relationships, and we can have fulfilling relationships. We can have successful relationships that God would be pleased with.
The first one you can talk about is family. Like, members knows you better than most. They've grew up with you and they know your likes and your dislikes and stuff like that. And I think they have so much influence over your life in general. So for them to interfere in your romantic relationship is very much possible, especially if you have a very close-knitted, opinionated family. And you value the opinions of your family members, you'll find that what they say and what they think matters. And you have to be very careful with that, because especially if you're married. I remember going to a wedding sometime in, I think it was 2018, and someone stood up and gave a toast, an advice. I thought it was very good. The person said to the bride, always remember that when you have issues with your husband, it's not everything you need to run to your family and mention to them, because when you have gone through that hurdle and you have forgiven and healed from it, they will not. And they will hold against your spouse, and it will create a discord between your spouse and your family. So I thought that was very clever, because it makes so much sense. They love you and they want to protect you by any means. And so when you have that kind of a situation happening, you find that they're all in harms and they want to be like, yo, I have to defend Heather, I have to defend Anika by all means. How could you do that? You know what I mean? So we have to be careful what we share with our family members. It's not everything that happened in your relationship you have to share with them, because it can cause discord when you and your partner have decided to come together. So I think influences, opinions that your family members have, you have to know what to take and what not to take. And especially if you are married, you cannot take all the advice that they have to offer, because though it may be coming from a good place, it may not be the will of God. So them interfering and stepping in and creating discord, and a lot of times, you know, you find that in families they don't like. I've heard persons that have gone through that where they're married or they're dating someone and the family don't like them, and they plan, like they literally sit and plan how they're going to create discord in the relationship, you know.
Yes.
And you find that they come and they plan and they're like, oh, you know, I'm going to say this to Anika, and then I'm going to make it look like the guy did it, and you know, all kind of madness. And then you find that they create discord between you and your spouse, and then maybe a couple of days after, you find that you and him not getting along, you at a disagreement, and they get their wish. You have to ensure that at the end of the day, you know what you want in your spouse, and you stand your guard united with your spouse. Another thing is that sometimes when maybe something happened where your spouse was in the wrong, or was there was some miscommunication, right? And the family take it a certain way. As you are in a relationship with someone, it's not okay for you to take the side of your family over your spouse. I think that's so wrong, because you have to be united. If you're not united, they're gonna rip you apart. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important in a family setting where you know what to take from them and what not to take, in a respectful way, of course, because you don't want to create any discord in your family. Mm-hmm. But you have to set boundaries between your family and your relationship, and kind of let them know, listen, I've got this. This is my relationship. I need to make the decision. I know you love me. I know that you care about me. You want things to go, you know, well, but I have to make this decision for myself. I have to give him time to do whatever the circumstance is. Or we have to ensure that at the end of the day, we're not influenced by our family members to make decisions that we are going to regret later down the road. Because I've known of situations where mothers or even fathers has influenced people to leave their relationship, and these are persons that they loved with all their heart. You know what I mean? These were persons that they would have wanted to really start a life with, and later down the road they regret it so badly, to the point that their lives were never really fulfilled, because these were the persons that they were supposed to connect with and fulfill their purpose with. And then they have allowed the family members to come in and make a decision for them. And later down the road now, they are left empty, broken, and family members are living and fulfilling their lives that you can't give them an opinion about. So you have to be very careful in terms of family. It's super important. Respect your family, love them, allow them to love you, but at the end of the day, you have to set boundaries between your family and your relationship.
Oh, wow. That was some sauce there. You throw down.
Yes. Yes.
I'm happy that you went all in. Just picking on some of the points that you mentioned, when you talk about that tip that the gentleman gave at the wedding, it brought me back to like how culture differs. Mm-hmm. Like in the Nigerian culture, they would do it otherwise. They would look at it to say, hey, you married a man, you married a family.
Right.
If anything is happening at home, so the wife is having an issue with the husband, the wife goes to the mother-in-law and the father-in-law, mm-hmm. and they intervene. So they call the son and speak to the son to make amends or to adjust, mm-hmm. to make the situation at home better for him and the wife. And the same would happen if it's a husband who has an issue with the wife.
Right.
And I'm like, I understand providing support, but for me, if you're in a relationship and you have an issue and both of you cannot work it out, you have to always be going to mother-in-law, father-in-law. Then when are you two going to grow up and become one and be able to understand that we have to compromise? We also have to be conscious of each other. So that just came to me, that how we would look at it, that, you know, we should not share everything, while in another culture, they say share, and it works. But there are advantages and disadvantages, and you just have to know first who your family members are, what they're capable of doing, because trust me, we can pin all our family members, you know, what they can bring, mm-hmm. they're called into a situation. So we have to be careful. Stand by, do not share everything. Be careful of what you share. Mm-hmm. Some of our family members, they love chaos, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
They will instigate a chaotic situation out of nothing. Mm-hmm. They just want to see the fly pitch on the shoulder. They just want to see a shadow pass by. They blow that out of proportion, and next thing you know, creates embarrassment for either party, depending on what it is. And a lot of times, especially when it comes to small communities, they like to gossip. Oh, and I saw that one sitting in the car with so-and-so, and that one. You have to be careful when you're taking stories from people who saw your spouse somewhere sitting and talking and doing whatever. And I'm not saying that you're going to shun everything, because sometimes something is happening, but you have to be prayerful about it, if nothing else. And I don't want people to hear us week after week talking about, you know, being prayerful and, you know, trusting God and having faith and just let it become a cliche.
Right.
Can make a difference. And when all else fails, because we can do so much and no more in our own little selves, when all else fails, we just have to hand it over to God.
Right.
But we have to be careful of the people, as you said, and know who will do and say what. I'm from a small family.
Right.
See, you're from a small family too.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't have any influence when it comes on to my relationship, really, from either side. But for some people, they may not be so lucky.
Right.
Everything that happens, and especially depending on how close you live to these family members, where they are seeing things, they're seeing a little bit more.
Right. Yeah.
That can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're in a situation where, you know, you're a young couple, you live at the house with your mother-in-law, father-in-law, whichever side, you have to be careful. And sometimes, even in your disagreements, you have to ensure that you don't blast it. You and your husband have a disagreement living on the same building with other family members and even other neighbors. And knows that you have a disagreement about something.
Right.
And as children of God, we should not really be living like that, where everything, we are on top of our voices.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I don't like shouting. Some of us, we are too dependent on family members.
That's true.
We need to become independent. The Bible tells us that we leave and cleave. Why is it that everything will run back home, and this auntie will come, this auntie will don you, and this uncle will come with, you know, those are the things I think are in the past.
Yeah.
Especially when you come to Christ and you're transformed, you must be able to stand in your relationship, come what may. Are you going to be that anchor? Are you going to be that rock? Are you going to be, you know, that strong one in the relationship? And I'm not saying that, you know, it won't get, you know, real bad. But that's the worst. That's the worst that you said, for better or for worse.
Right.
And so we have to know, wean ourselves from our family members and that heavy intervention that they are so quick to provide. And half the time, we know what to do when we're not in the situation. But when we are in the situation, we do it differently.
Right, exactly.
And so as you said, a lot of them will sow some amount of discord. Mm-hmm. And they are quick to just talk. And you have to be careful, because there are other things too that could be coming from. It may not just be all truth.
Mm-hmm.
You have to recognize those things.
I think one of the other closest interferer or influence, I should say, would be friends, you know, our good friends. We have to be careful of that word. We're so quick to call others friends. I don't understand nowadays.
Oh, yes.
With friends. But we have to be careful of who we take advice from. I think I'd mentioned that in one of our prior recordings. And I believe that you have to be careful, man. Careful. Because sometimes some of these people just don't want you happy, you know. Them just waiting for something bad to happen. To say, you see, nothing I hate to hear. Than when, like, something happened and you share it with the person. And their first response is, you need Philippine. That's the only thing you can offer as advice. You need to let him. Long time I tell him to let the boy.
I never like him from long time. When we come at wedding, because me I support you.
No, well, I know. I never like him for a long time. But you never hear about, like, she not liking him, you know. I just know you're here, you know. So you see the hypocrisy.
Judas still among us. That's it.
Oh my God, it's like one of those things that I don't like. Like, I like persons who are honest and transparent.
Yes.
So if you are a friend and I know that from day one something would have happened, maybe initially for you not to really be open to him, I appreciate that you made that known to me from the beginning.
Yes.
Like, oh, Heather, me not really too dig that little youth here. You know, the decision is yours, but me not really too dig that little youth here. So I know over upon the left, and you kind of really too dig him, but she's supporting me because she's my friend.
Yes. And then with that too, now you know how much to share with this person. Exactly. Because you don't want to add fuel to the fire.
Exactly. Your friends can make or break, you know.
Yeah.
Your friends can make you or break you, because just as how the family members can influence and say you need to walk away from this situation, you also can take bad advice from your friends and end a really good relationship that yes. has been going through a rough patch. And you also have to, just as how I mentioned before, where you have to set boundaries, it's not everything you need to share with your friends. Mm-hmm. There are things that you go through your relationship where just you, God, and your partner supposed to know. It's not all the things that happen you're supposed to just spill your guts and be like, yo, da-da-da-da-da-da. No, there are things that will happen along the way that you will need support for. And as you all know by now, I'm big in terms of support and community. That's my thing. I believe you need help and you need support. But at the same time, it's not everything that happened you need to share with someone. Sometimes you just need to hold some little things, you know, and just meditate upon it and allow the Lord to kind of help you to figure out. It's not everything you need to run to somebody. So you have to be wise in everything that you do. And your friends, man, your friends can make you or break you. And that's why I tell you, I allow the Lord to really bring people in my life, because sometimes our radars don't work well. And sometimes the wolves in sheep clothing come along. And I've seen it happen so many times where we start out with people in our lives, they're good to us, and we think we know them. And life changes and these individuals change on you. I've had so many persons in my life from, I think maybe from school time, maybe college time. These are persons that I hold dear to my heart, to say that these are persons that are friends of mine. But then life happens and we evolve and we change. And it doesn't mean I don't care about them or the type of friendship that we have. But sometimes we find so we hold on people even after the season has ended. And we have to understand who we call friend and who are associates and who, you know, just the inner that little corner, they didn't really have any. But you know them and they know you, and sometimes you're not talking. So, but you can't pick to call everybody friend. Sometimes, like, I knew some persons along the way in this life that everybody had their friend, bestie, and so. You have all five besties. Why? I don't understand. You share everything with the five besties, you know? Oh my God.
Besties now becomes their God.
Right.
Listen, we are no better than the children of Israel.
But we spring from them.
Yeah. So we are looking for some immediate response. We want to hear something. No, you're going through something. No, I'm going to call Heather and tell Heather this. Mm-hmm. And this happened today and husband said this. You have to be careful. Mm-hmm. Who do you turn to first? I'm not saying, as you said, you can't share something, because God put people in our lives. But at the same time, speak to God first and let him lead you to the person and what to say. Sometimes we are the ones who create that monster image of our spouse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you may have a family member who never visits your home. They don't see how you and your husband live. But based on how you talk about your husband, they form a perception of who that monster is.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime they hear something go down, their response will never be positive. And it's because of the seed that you sow.
Exactly. It goes back to my point that I made earlier. You cannot share everything with your family members and friends, because you find that when you have come to that place of healing and forgiveness, they are not quick to forgive and they do not forget. Will always hold that little thing in their minds about this individual and what the individual did. And so we have to be very careful, and you have to be careful who you take advice from. Like, one of my pet peeves, I think it is to have persons give you counsel that is bad, because it can throw off your entire life and generations to come. It's that serious. Like, when I look at it, because if you're supposed to connect with someone, right, and you made a decision for you not to connect with the individual, that's what God wanted for you, and you take up on yourself, so you're going to listen to Annie, or you're going to listen to Edda. And I say, if you left the man, the only way I will tell you to leave your partner is if I see that he is abusing you. I do not think it is my right, and we could be so close. It is not my right to tell you to leave your partner. that kind of decision has to be made by you. You have to come to that place where you feel as if this is what God wants. I cannot tell you that. As a friend and as a dear friend, I cannot tell. And that's one of my pet peeves. I hate it. It's not your right to tell someone to leave their relationship. It's not. Why it has to be, and meta Christian people too, you know, Anika. It's not right. Why is it that you want brokenness for someone's family or someone's situation? Because what that's going to create is a ripple effect, you know. So we're not thinking about the children and all of the things that are now become one. You're just thinking of the now. And sometimes it can come from a good place. You seeing your friend hurt, but we have to be careful how we lead by emotions and not by the Spirit of God. So if you come to me and you tell me that, Heather, I am having this challenge in my relationship, my role as your friend is to console you, to ensure that you know that I am your support. I'm here if you need me. If you need to talk to me 1 o'clock in the morning, feel free to call my phone. If you need me 5 o'clock, we'll go somewhere to chill, I'll come, I'll make the time. That's the kind of support I want. So that's the kind of support I'm going to give. And somebody who is going to be so negative that every time I share something with you, it's always like, a long time may I tell you, you need to left the man. No little encouragement of saying, you know what? Let us plan something and we just go somewhere, just you and I, and we chill, just leave everything that is happening for a little while.
Yeah.
Let us just go and have fun. Let us just go and just laugh out the night, or... You know what I mean? I'm not talking about go to a bar and drink and get drunk. No. I'm saying just to have support.
Yeah, you're not going out to be on the topic either. You're trying to provide us a setting where you can get off your mind, kind of, and let the person realize that, you know, you can still laugh a little outside of this.
Right.
I mean, I'm here for you. I'm making myself available to put a smile on your face.
Exactly. That's the kind of support. That's the kind of influence I want from Mike.
Yeah.
I don't want somebody who is so negative and so quick to tell me what I need to do. Sometimes too, when you're going through a particular situation, especially with relationships or whatever, you just sometimes need somebody to hear you out, you know. Sometimes it's not even advice that you want. Sometimes it is just for someone to say, you know what, Heather? Some days I feel like that too. You know, some days I feel like I want to give up too. But guess what? We are going to be okay. Sometimes that's all it takes. It doesn't mean that you have to go into the scripture and say, girl, Matthew 9 says. No.
That can create some disconnect. Because and we're not saying that we're leaving God out of it. But at the same time, you have to let the person realize that, listen, you are flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to remain not okay.
Right, exactly.
And that's what you're there for.
Exactly. To remind the person that, listen, some days are hard. Yes. It's okay. Get up. We're going to do this. And if you need my support, I'm here. That's the kind of influence I want in my life. I don't want somebody who's negative and always thriving to be negative and thriving to have discord. Sometimes we need to open our eyes to, you know, because it's right in front of us and we're not realizing
that
the individuals is really so in discord. Especially if the person is very close to your spouse, because I've seen relationships like that. Well, I think it's kind of weird sometimes, but it depends on how you've met and the circle of friends. You will have like your best friend very close to your husband and your husband, so everybody close. And so your best friend is able now to come and, you know, have certain conversations with your spouse and outside of you. And then these are the little ways where they come in and the devil just use them, you know.
And
that's it. What you're saying is you mentioned something what Anika said, but you take it out of context because that's not what Anika meant. And so the man hear you repeat that and the man start briling and say to himself, why Anika would have mentioned that to Heather? That's not for Heather's ears. Being man, you think him go say something? Him start give you attitude and then look for something there and not talk. And we're back at the men not talking. And then it starts plant seed and discord in your situation.
Or that same friend could use it as an opportunity, because sometimes they are not happy for you. So it's like what they're doing is that they are going through an emotional turmoil where they're realizing that, listen, my biological clock is ticking. I am not settled. And it goes back to just, you know, that fear of not finding somebody for me who will love me like how Heather's spouse loves her. And so they say, oh my gosh, I would want a husband like Heather. But that's what we're saying. But inside, what we're really thinking or plotting, if not consciously, subconsciously, is how can I get Heather's husband?
Lala.
So they sow that seed and they will come and they will, when they hear what you say and the things that you don't like about your husband and the things that the husband doesn't do and all those things, they present themselves as that caring person who can facilitate certain things. They're okay with it. Oh, you go out in the night. Oh, Heather, why are you complaining? They will say those things in front of the person. So the person say, you know, start thinking that, you see?
Be more like Anika. He's understanding.
Yes. And then they present themselves and you find that these subtle move, you know, it has some impact on the men. And so we have to be alert and remember, as you said, we don't tell everything to our friends and not everybody's going to be happy for you. So you have to know that. And these things start very subtle. You would be surprised to know how many persons, the reason for their separation or divorce is because of who somebody they call friend, best friend, somebody who was in the house all the time, helping them do everything, like literally everything related to husband. And soon, you know, I don't like you. And then very soon,
literally everything.
Literally everything. And then what happens? They help you out. They help you out of the house.
Right through the front door.
Through the front door.
Yep.
And sweep the floor behind you.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them are so blunt. They're so chalant. They will help you pack the bags, you know.
Yeah, man.
They will help you pack the bags and in the name of, I tell her to leave. I tell her to leave.
Yes, ma'am.
And then when you're gone and think you're going out to cry because you can't cope with husband quite contented because what? He didn't skip a beat because something else was in the making. And when you look at it, it's the person you call friend. No, you get double stabbed in the heart. So it takes a lot of discernment. We need to be connected with God because some things we can see it. We can smell it from miles away.
That's true.
And, you know, one of the things that I know, I don't practice, and I don't know why I'm led to share this, because this wasn't anything that, you know, I had even thought of before, no. But right. One of the things that I don't practice, time to go to a friend's house, and their house is there. Because at home, I can sleep in certain things. But when I go and I'm staying over at a friend's house and their spouse is at home, or, you know, I'm conscious of what I bring to sleep in.
Oh, yes.
I'm conscious of my outfit for the entire time that I'm around the two.
It's important. It's very important. It's very, very important. Like when you're going to share space, even if it's not their home and you are going like on vacation or something, like I am very cognizant of those things. Like I don't take those things lightly.
No, I don't.
In my own space or when I'm going to come to see you and it's just you, that's different because you're your friend. You know what I mean? But when her husband is at home, you have to be really, you really have to put that in thought and be like, all right, I need to ensure that I have my, you know, my attire that really and truly is not very revealing. And whatever, no, stop. Like those little things, I think about them.
You're going to spend the weekend with a friend and your sleepwear sexier than even the honeymoon outfit. Where are you going?
Exactly.
Yeah, to be conscious. And sometimes too, even these people, they have children at home too, you know. So it's not just the husband. And somebody may be thinking that, oh, maybe the husband just weep. You can still a man. That's flesh. And no matter how much Holy Ghost in the body, in the flesh, you can fall because you're flesh.
And then you can have thoughts too.
That's the start and that's sin. So why am I going to be the one to cause my friend's husband to
fall?
And nobody would have to tell me that. So I'm coming over. You don't have to tell me that, Anika, don't do so-and-so. Don't sit certain way. You're gone. You put up your foot, your legs open. And
No.
Listen.
No.
There are a lot of people. They're so into themselves. and they're not conscious of their environment. And the thing is, it's not that the husband may want to go with them, you know.
It makes the husband uncomfortable in his own home too.
Because his own house,
man, where the men are not so much attracted to what they see, but they are uncomfortable. And I've seen situations like that where, you know, someone will come over to their friend's home with their spouse, and the spouse had to go to his wife and be like, yo, you need to talk to X and Y because... you know, sit down good in the couch, or what is that you're wearing? You're coming over to my home and you have on short shorts with the jaws of your, you know, your home showing. And come on, in a family home, and you know, say you have got people home, come on, you can't do that.
Some people don't care. This would be a sign for me to say, hey, you have no respect for me as your friend.
Yeah, and I have no respect for my union.
Yes. No, but I start with there because I am the one who brought you in my home, not my husband. You come in because of me. We have a friendship.
Yeah.
You know, if you think you can just walk up in my house and just, you know, flaunt yourself any and any home, then clearly you have no respect for me. And those are some things that you have to look into and know that, listen, some of these relationships that we have, and we call it friendship, we really need to run away from them, you know.
Yep.
They're bad influences. They're just a time bomb waiting to explode.
And that's why when I said earlier, sometimes we're too quick to call people friend.
Yes.
That's really, the person is just an associate or someone that you know. You have to have relationship with the person to even be friends. You know what I mean? And not one and two conversations. You have to be on that page. And I don't have a lot of friends. It has never been in my life where I have a lot of friends. And I
that
because when you have a lot of friends, you have a lot of problems. Can you have five friends? It's five different personalities. No, when you have like one and two persons now, you know, right? And you allow the Lord to do what he's doing.
And then you have some of these people too, they come, you know. God, Jesus. Not even Usain Bolt, more competitive than them.
I know. What's that about too? I mean, why would I? All right. So I meet you, Anika. We never grew up, right? And I maybe met you through, I don't know, maybe I work where you work, or we work out at the same gym, or whatever the case is. I met you along the way of life. And I realized that you and I have similar interests, and we become associates. So I know you. It moves into a friendship. I start come at your yard, you come at my yard. Our lives are now intertwined. Our kids are playing, growing up together. Cool. And then I see you buy a car. I don't understand what is inside of people when they become competitive. So I see you. I never grew up with you. I don't know all about your life story, because there are going to be things that you don't share with me.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe if someone had grown with you would have known, because the person was around. And so you and that person would have a different bond, as in compared to someone who came along the way. And so the persons don't know everything, maybe the struggles that you've been through, all of these things, and you're no friends. The person met you at a time when things are turning, things are good. You know, you finally get a little breakthrough where you're in a really nice job and you can afford certain things. And you come in the person's life and you're competing. Why?
Competing at the finish line.
I know.
Or competing with somebody who is not even in the race.
That's right. I mean, you met me along the way where I am now in a place where God has worked it out. So you never see when me at eat carmel and I drink water, if make sure it's my belly full and me don't dead at thirst. You know, you never meet me in the days when I could not pay my rent. Or you never met me in the days when I had to eat dumpling and chicken back gravy because we eat the chicken back from last night and it's just gravy leave this morning. Like, people need to chill. You don't know the person's inside out. You don't know the struggles. And you met me at a season where God decided that, yo, this is the season of favor and door mean. And then all of a sudden you want to compete? Compete on what? I wonder what got you combined, you know?
Listen, I'm really grateful for my mommy. I never grew up with my dad, but I'm very grateful. Not that he was absent. I'm happy that my mommy, her influence on me, you know, the little nuggets that she sowed into my life. I just never had that desire for what other people had, no matter what it was, even when we had nothing then. So we didn't have certain things, but then other people having it. I don't know if I've had a moment where I can say I was phased or I felt less than.
No.
We were happy, we were content. I think I got what I needed growing up because I had love.
Yeah, that's it. And a lot of persons had everything else except for love.
Yes, with some of those, the love being missing in the home. And some of the times, it's not even just love being missing. Some of it is just greed. Because sometimes your parents can do so much and know more for you. But you set in your mind that you want something. And I've met a lot of people along the way. As you said, they just want to compete with you. But you come and you tell me that you're going to buy a car or you buy a house or you get a new job and the job paying you three times what you were getting before or three times what I am getting. Where or how is it going to help me if I'm grudgeful of you? Or why is that I wouldn't be able to support you and be happy for you going into that new season of your life?
Exactly.
And that's why a lot of times people don't tell people things, because somebody is not going to be pleased with what you're doing and the changes that are happening in your life. And anyway, you mentioned about God taking you from a season of lack into greenery. Sometimes, you know, you buy the car, you buy the house, you're still in the season of drought, you know, where you sacrifice, you're trusting God to take you out of it. You're driving the car and the car on E. You're behind on your mortgage payment. You're behind on the car payment. But because you're not telling the person, they think you have it all.
Exactly. Exactly, my dear. And that's, it goes back to who we call friends. We have to be careful because the few that I have, them not stay them where they're supposed to can't celebrate you.
Yes.
So, I wasn't in the season of luck. And I come on and I hear say, something going for Anika, you know, so Anika gets a promotion or Anika change her car, you know. What? Maybe say, girl, we need to go celebrate brunch or we're going to brunch. Hello?
Hello? We're going out. We're going to drive out in the child, windows down, breeze flowing, going through the hair and all of that. What are you talking about?
Lord of mercy.
Something that I'm happy. I never had just like you. And I guess God would have it that it's really us. And then as we grow too, as, you know, children of God, He's placing other people in our circle.
Right.
So, or you know, extending our little borders outside of just, you know, being in our own little space. I remember quite a few times your mommy would say, man, just Anika.
Yeah, man.
Nobody else can come in your space.
Mommy would have said, really, Stacey? Nobody? So like, oh, you're going to manage when Anika got. I'm like, the Lord will take care of you.
Jesus, and look at it,
no way. Together, new friends. I'm not in any rush. Like, listen, people is not a person. And I've realized that a very early age. So I work with the Lord and who he put in there.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's just sad. And just being mindful of what you share can eliminate sometimes the competition. And what I try to do too within, I was a friendship. Because I really have a few. When I have associates, I try to understand their thinking and I watch how they respond to things I say, not just in what they say, but in what they do. I have to pull back what I tell you. I can't share certain things with you. Some things you have to find out after the fact,
right?
And sometimes long after the fact. And I'm not doing it because I'm selfish. I'm doing it to protect you from yourself.
Exactly.
I always try to be content with what I have, where I am. And it's not that I'm settling. I'm content with any decision I make. I make it from a place of faith in God. So I can't even remember when I was to make the move for work some years ago, and I spoke and I was telling people who you would think would not tell you what to do and what not to do. But if anything, to ask a question then, and there were persons who would say, oh, you want to leave husband, and then if you go away, this can happen and that can happen. And I'm like, really? So you thought me telling you that I'm making the move, I'm telling you for you to validate my decision. That would have been something I would have discussed with my husband. If I'm making the move, it means that the two of us would have agreed for me to make the move.
You tell me something like that, the person never says what him say.
What's the plan?
What him say?
Oh,
him good.
yeah, you will leave him and woman and whatever. And I'm like,
him, you can't lay down in a bed a woman. So I don't know what that have to do with nothing.
Thank you. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people don't understand that you can be any level of security, surveillance, whatever it is. Yeah, you can have any degree in a surveillance or security. But guess what? There's something that you cannot control.
Yep.
Cannot control it. So sometimes people will come to you and share something with you. As you said, they're not asking for your feedback, really. They're just sharing with you. They just maybe want to maybe inform you of something, or they just want a listening ear. And so you have to be careful what you say. I was taken aback by some of the comments that some of those persons would have said during that time. I'm like, wow. Even so, you have some people who will want to know what you are doing. And I'm gonna say this, don't ask questions that you won't be able to handle the
answers. Yeah.
Please just give me grace. Because you have some people who just think that, oh, I'm blunt, I'm gonna ask it anyway. They just if they want to answer, they answer. If they don't want to answer, then they don't answer. And what is it going to do for me? Well, for me, maybe because of who I am, I could easily ask that question and be comfortable with the response. And I'm not going to go home and say to my husband that you're less than, and why can't you do this? And why can't you take me, you know, to this place? Why can't we go on vacation to Paris and to whatnot? But some people, they seek out these information and then they use it. And that now become the problem in their relationship, because they are comparing their relationship with other people and they always want to be better than. Okay, right. I am going on a vacation, so I'm going to an all-inclusive property. But for you, you have to go to an Airbnb property in another parish, and you're on your own to buy food. You're out and about and you're taking nice pictures. But what are you eating? Nothing really. You're just getting by. Maybe just going on snacks, but you're having a good time. While somebody else is at the all-inclusive, hundreds of US dollars for a night. And sometimes even with that, you living on the patty and the box drink is happier than the person with the money.
That's true.
So we have to be careful as friends, as family, how we compete. There's a difference between competing or being grudgeful and being inspired or being encouraged. There are certain things that other people would do and I say, oh, that's nice. I would do that, not because I want to be like you or I'm going to do it to show you that I can do it better than you. No, because it's something nice.
You want to have that experience.
You want to have
it's
that
something
experience.
That you would have to, right, something you'd want to experience in your life before, you know, maybe it's a bucket list kind of a thing. And you're like, you know, I've always thought about that. I wonder how this person, you know, would have gone about to book that ticket or to do that. I need to look into that, you know, because that's actually something that I would enjoy. That's different. But then if you want to do it because, you know, I need to do this because, like, I don't understand how she's doing it and I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
From a place of covetousness.
Yes. And we have to be careful. So we have to know really what's on our heart. We have to test their heart. ECG on it spiritually. And know that whatever you're going to do, whatever you are doing that you saw somebody else doing, please know why you're doing it. And make sure that it's not coming from a place, as you said, of covetousness. Be content with what you have and where you are, and just know that the Lord will take you from stage to stage, from seasons to seasons, and He will care for you.
Yeah. It's super important for you to be aware of those that influence your relationships and your life in general. It's good to have support from family. It's good to have support from friends. It's good to have people in your life, but you have to be so alert and sensitive to what is filtered in your life, because it can make your relationship or it can break it.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals."
Yes.
And that is so true, because you can have someone that is so pure, grow good, them parents grow them good, but the moment they allow someone with bad intentions and influences in their lives, they too become contaminated and ruin everything, all the good works, all the purity. And so we have to ensure that we know where we're getting our advice, who is speaking into our lives and our relationship, who is really there praying you through the hard times. Because sometimes there are things that may happen in your relationship that the Lord may show me, and I don't need to come to you and have a conversation to you about it. Because yes, what the Lord has shown it to me so that I know can go into prayer and fast on your behalf. That's the kind of support I want. Mm-hmm. I don't want support with all the time you're talking to no avail. I want somebody that is in my life, people who is in my life that the Lord can have on my behalf to say pray. Or him can wake me up one morning and say, you need to pray for Anika. You need to this, you need to that. That's the kind of support you need to thrive to have in your life. The circle that will make a difference and to help you and to push you, to propel you into the place that he has called you to be. Because if your friends and your family is just there to offer advice on what to do and what not to do, then why do you need the Lord? Yes. It goes back to what you were saying before.
Idolatry.
Things are happening in your relationship. Take it to the Lord first. He's the one who has allowed you to be in that space. He's the one that has brought you together with your spouse. Go to him first. And if you need support from your friends, then you need to go to your inner courts or your outer courts, depending on what the situation is.
Yes.
So that's my whole, I would say, summary of this entire thing. It's just to know, be alert, be aware, because you can't stop people from giving you their opinion, you know, especially in this day and age. People just tell you what they feel like, blatantly. They don't care how you feel. They don't care how it rub you. They just want to share their views and their opinions, even when they don't have all the facts. And that's okay. Even as family members, that's okay. They can share what they want. But what are you taking from them?
Yes.
Are you going to take everything that they say to you? No, you're going to filter out, because sometimes they really do have good advice. Because what? Maybe they would have walked that road before, and they would have picked up some wisdom that they can share with you. But not everything family member come with, you need to digest. Some things you need to push aside. Like when you're eating a food and your belly full, you don't need it. Right?
When you pick up the onions and the pepper and the...
That is right. And you eat the meat because the meat is good. Right. Same concept.
Yeah.
And you do the same thing with friends, especially when you have friends that are not really connected to the spirit either.
Yeah.
You have to be careful with that. So, that is my whole takeaway.
You're right. But then you said something regarding, like, even having, you know, friends or family members who would have gone through similar situations, and they would have picked up some wisdom going through. Sometimes that revelation for them is not a one size fits all. It's based on who they are in that situation, and God pointed out something. So you still have to take it with a grain of salt. You still have to be cautious. And in everything, I think, just try to let God be your guide.
Consult
God for everything. It's easier said than done, because sometimes we just want a response. We need somebody to say something right now. And sometimes God, in all his wisdom, will not respond to us when we think we need a response.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why it's okay to process your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Being in Christ doesn't mean that you're going to be happy every day. You're going to have low states.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just need to, as you said, be alert. What can happen? Try ensure that you limit the influences. So you have to set the boundaries. You have to ensure that these boundaries are maintained. So listen, this thought just came to me. Sometimes we're in a setting and we hear people talking about your spouse. Sometimes, as part of ensuring the boundaries are in place, sometimes you have to tell them to stop, say no more.
Sometimes what is required of us is that we are the ones who need to stand up for our husbands, so that the people in our lives are not just throwing stones at them. we have to say, okay, enough is enough. This is my relationship and we have to work on it because we are one. And even though it may seem hard, you have to try, because if you don't, you will create more damage than you are helping your own relationship.
Exactly.
And that's why communication is important in relationships. Mm-hmm. And communication is not just about talking what's on your mind. And that's something that we like to do, like to tell people what's on our mind. We should use wisdom in sharing. It's not everything I'm gonna tell you, Heather. I'm sure sometimes when you come and you say certain things, or even sometimes when I say certain things, you say, Anika, don't look at it like that. Look at it this way.
Right.
So you're not just saying, yeah, man, go. And you see me going down in hell and you're cheering on.
Me can't take a yes man friend. Me, listen, if you have a yes man friend, me dead in a show.
You will. You will.
No, listen, because sometimes the flesh roll, you know. The flesh roll up. And it's like, sometimes just by sharing the little thing, the little thought with somebody, you know, your little inner circle, and the inner circle can say, Edda, really?
Yes.
Really?
And just, you don't need to say much more than that, you know.
You know, if we go no further, it's just the person said really, and it's really? Like, you're like, oh my God, why am I thinking that?
Yeah. You would get that because of relationship. You know, right. the person knows how to relate to you. Because, like, you know, I could say, Heather, shut up. But maybe somebody is saying, Heather, shut up. You may take it a different way. But because of the relationship that we have, you know, just certain phrases that we use, you know, say, off with what I just said. I think.
Oh yeah.
Just make sure that you have people around you that you can trust, and people are going to disappoint you, but just know that you are going to always forgive for you, and because God wants you to be forgiven. But ensure that you maintain your boundaries and ensure that in everything, God is your number one, and you are united with your spouse, and you remember in all your actions, your conversations, that your spouse is the person you're joined to and not your friends, not your extended family. And you have to ensure that you take care of them, not just at home, but you have to make sure that you protect their image in front of them, behind them. They can know that, listen, you have my back. And so when they go out and they mess up, I mean, there, you may have a little situation where you keep talking about it for a little while because it hurts and you have to repeat it and say, man, but you did this. But just use it as a time to process and to go through and just let the person know that comes what may, you are their partner for life.
So I want to encourage somebody today to pray a prayer of repentance about all those times that you allowed other influences into your relationship and how you were the one who went out with the information that instigated that influence and that word over your life. Pray against it. Ask God for forgiveness and that He will break that curse that was uttered regarding your relationship. And I'm telling you, He will forgive you and He will heal your brokenness in your relationship. May God be with you today. And don't lay in your brokenness, because we serve a God who delivers and He has us no matter what. God bless you.
Alrighty, guys. So that's our take on outside influences on relationship. Be sure to remember to listen for other topics coming. You know, we always have really good topics. So we will hear you next week. So keep tuned.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Women After God's Heart.
Be sure to subscribe to your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss out on all our upcoming episodes.
This is Anika.
And I'm Heather.
Wishing you
happy podcasting.